this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I know you don't have to tell me you're having an awesome, a fabulous, a wonderful day. People say, Dr. Sunday, why you always say that? I say that because guess what? You are in your purpose. But I don't see that, Dr. Sunday. Yes, we do have to go through good days. We have to go through bad days. I know. I've been there. I go through that. But guess what? We have to be in those things. You know, you probably heard many people say your purpose is your pain, the pain that you actually have overcame, the things that you actually have been through. Because by telling your testimony, by putting that in print, putting that on social media, and, you know, of course, you know what to say and what not to say, right? Okay? But putting those things out there, you know, having that testimony, having that book, having that speech, or, you know, really telling that story actually helps other people that they, one, they feel like they're not alone, and number two, you actually give them an action step, an action plan, a roadmap that they actually can move forward. Isn't that amazing? Yes, yes, yes. It's amazing. Now everybody, even the restaurants, have stories that they share to actually get you in to buy their products and services. So I love it. I love it. And I'm a storyteller, so that's really great for me. But what we do here at Good Deeds, we help you shine your light to the world. And what is your light? Your light is your dream, your goals, your passion, your purpose, the reason that you actually was born. We help you do that, and you share your message. We do that through radio and TV, through our publishing company, through our nonprofit organizations, and when I speak, you know, out in speaking engagement. Because I am known as the platform builder. So I help you. One, we got to identify that purpose if you don't know what that is. And then we help you develop that platform through many different resources and ways of doing that. But, you know, I just love it when we have fellow men on the air. Because, right, ladies, you, I know, ladies, leave me alone now. But, ladies, we actually love to hear from the men because, you know, the men are the foundation. You can say whatever you want to say, but a man that speaks and speaks with authority, we want to listen. And everybody want to listen, not just, okay, not just one person, not just two, but people really want to listen what the men have to say in the world. And we have an amazing young man that's with us today. He's an author, but he has so many other things that he's going to share with us. We want to welcome to Good Deeds, the amazing, the fabulous, the author, Apollo the Dreamer. Are you there?
I'm still here. Thank you for having me today.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us on Good Deeds.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start this on because we got all the people listening. They want to know what's going on with Apollo the Dreamer. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the amazing things that's going on in your life.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Apollo the Dreamer. Apollo stands for Applying Principles of One Life Lessons Openly. I am a poet. I am an author. I'm an entrepreneur, to say the very least. Currently working on a couple of projects in regards to starting my own apparel. I'm working on my third book called Summer Nights. It should be out sometime this summer. I'm also working into trying to get body oil and shea butter. My own exclusive line worked out for myself. I'm also a part of a couple of projects in my area, trying to uplift and bring everybody together with a few projects like a community garden. I got a few like-minded individuals. We're trying to raise awareness and literacy for the kids and for the elderly. So right now, I'm just kind of busy. I'm also driving trucks currently as well. So I'm also on the road, traveling the world, trying to maintain a sense of lifestyle.
Now, so you just said something now. I just got to go back on that because my hat's off. First of all, we'll tackle the 18-wheeler. I respect 18-wheelers. Amen.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate
now,
that.
Do you drive one of those that have the two things on the back?
Oh, you're talking about doubles. No, I drive the 50-foot, the 53-foot trailer, just the one.
Oh, but that's long enough.
Right.
Well, my brother-in-law, Lord bless his heart, he drive with them two things on there, and he drive at night. But, you know, let me tell you, boy, Atlanta, oh, my God, them 18-wheelers, I stay out of their way. And people don't realize, and Apollo, you can help us with that, people don't realize when they drive, they need to stay out of your blind spot. Am I right about that?
Right. Right, right. I mean, the thing about us is, I mean, people don't realize that we actually control the road. I mean, you know, we are a commercial vehicle. And you got to realize that, you know, we're not driving a small car or SUV or pickup. So the way that you guys can stop on a dime and things of that nature, we can't do it. It takes us a while, you know, versus our speed, our distance and things of that nature. It's a lot of mechanics and factors that come into it when it comes to us driving those trucks. So, you know, I know there's some guys out there who may control the road a little more aggressively than others. But at the end of the day, you know, we are hauling your goods and your products back and forth. Your commodity, excuse me, back and forth, you know, whether it's Walmart or Dollar General or your favorite, you know, Macy's or whomever, you know, we're carrying these goods. So if anything happens to us or if we're delayed, that holds you up from being able to get the things that you need from day to day.
Yeah, you're right about that. I actually can let you know that I think the biggest vehicle I've driven is a 15-passenger van. And yeah, you got to make sure you got enough room to make them turns. You got to
right.
watch out how the elevation. You can't just drive up to no. you're gonna have to park, and you can't go up in the drive-through. Isn't that funny? Oh my God!
Right,
funny.
Right.
We respect you and the things that you do.
I appreciate
wow.
it.
Wow. But, you know, let me just say this, and we'll move forward. I read I can't remember the actual statistic, but, you know, people think that the airplanes, that the trains, and even just local trucks, you know, the smaller trucks, deliver most of our commodities. But guess what? That's not right. It's the 18-wheelers that take that
right.
all that stuff we take for granted. That's what you do, right?
Right, right. I mean, if you look at it from that standpoint, you think about it, you're driving a 53-foot trailer, you can be up to maximum gross weight of 80,000 pounds. So, you know, you're going down to, you said Georgia. I used to go down to Georgia quite often, the Atlanta area. So you think about going down to Georgia, to like a Georgia Pacific, who make the paper products, you know, your toilet paper, your paper towels and things of that nature. You're going down there, and we're carrying rolls, I mean, thousands of rolls. Of paper, you know, 60,000 pounds of paper on the back of our truck at one time. And, you know, we max out speed in most cases to 65 miles per hour. So you think about, you know, you having a fleet of trucks and what we can haul at one time versus, you know, like a Penske truck or maybe even a truck the size of a U-Haul. And even when it comes to aircraft, you know, they don't have the turnaround time in most cases that we have. You know, one of our trucks can, or a fleet of our trucks can go to several locations at one time versus that plane, you know, it may get there faster, but the time frame to get those products moved out still couldn't compare by no means.
Wow. Amen on that one. We kudos, you know, keep doing that right there.
Well,
you know, hey,
I appreciate
if you know
you.
How God gonna move, you be the owner. Amen.
That's what I'm working on. I'm trying to move up and move out.
That's what I'm talking about. What a mission. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, people, I love stories, and everybody does. So what ignited your passion, you know, for music and for, you know, all, you know, with your penmanship of, you know, your book, and then all the other things that you're doing to help people in society?
I guess for me it was more so just being where I'm from and I guess who I am. Innately, my mother was a storyteller growing up, so I think that had a big influence on it. My father indirectly taught me how to think outside the box. You know, he's from Africa, and growing up, he always told me puns and riddles to help me problem solve. My mother was the nurturer. She was more so into storytelling you know, trying to show me different ways and different views to look at things in life. And I guess as an adolescent, growing through my own problems and frustrations, trials and tribulations, and so on and so forth, it was from that point of view that I learned how to, I guess, craft my skills in poetry. I did actually have, you know, anger issues growing up, you know, dealing with certain things, and poetry was the best way for me to articulate myself as well as to address some of the issues internally versus having to go to external factors or external, I guess, people or habits, per se, to resolve my own issues. From that standpoint, I just saw the doors that poetry could open up in itself. I got friends who sing and who may rap and things of that nature, but I just felt that those types of industries or crafts, to some discretion, kind of boxed you in or left you to be associated with other individuals. So, you know, you may meet a person who sings as such, and you always compare them to your favorite famous singer or a rapper. You know, you sound like so-and-so, but with poetry, you can hide your, you know, feelings, or you can, you know, mask or create a vision or storytell within a poetry based upon what you see or your views or your hues of life. So from that point on, I just kept going with it. Probably at a young age, maybe mid-teens or so, is when I really first started to put the pen to the pad. It wasn't until I got older, my late teens, that I started to express myself and show my works with other individuals who really kind of gave me a better feedback about what I was doing. My early 20s is when I really became adamant about it and wanted to do more. Just watching, I guess, in our own community, being black per se, has just been something that I felt like, you know, owning something was the most important thing out of life. Slaving was never much of my facet of working a 9-to-5, not knocking anybody who may have a 9-to-5 job, but I didn't want to help build somebody else's dream. So I felt that, you know, while you day to night, you help build somebody else's brand or somebody else's dream, you should also put something away for yourself. The economic state of the world growing up has never been the best. You know, they said that Social Security wasn't going to be something for us later on in the future. So, you know, each day I had to find another way to do something for myself, build my own legacy, as well as having kids. I have two little girls. So I didn't want to just be a writer. You know, longevity comes with writing. You know, most writers don't become famous until they're passing, and Lord knows I don't have to wait till I'm dead to start reaping those benefits. So I wanted to get involved into other projects and network with other individuals in my area, or just in period, just in general, work with other individuals to try to become something more than just a writer. So I started to look at different brands such as FUBU back in the day, of how they market themselves and how they change the clothing or the apparel game or industry, and how they were able to market certain ways. And to, I mean, I remember growing up, that's all we wore was FUBU, you know, Nike. To find out that some of these major corporations were not really in our best interest, so I wanted to do something for us, you know, something, you know, like the FUBU, for us, by us. That was kind of my major focus of my, I guess, my key to my own legacy. So just starting off with just wanting to wear my own shirts. I mean, and even still, sometimes, you know, growing up, you couldn't afford those types of those brands. You know, Nike was sometimes out of your budget, or Tommy Hilfiger was out your budget, or even Timberland was out your budget. So, you know, to be popular or to feel comfortable in certain apparel, you know, you have to have a certain, you know, income or not have certain type of bills or expenses. So, you know, when you look at it, it's just a logo. You know, no better than seeing the Nike emblem and knowing what they do, or the Golden Arches and see what they do. I felt like Apollo had to be something more personal. It had to be a reflection of who I am and trying to be associated with like-minded individuals. So that's where it came from, Apollo the Dreamer. I was always big into Greek philosophy. That was another good thing, so that's the reason why I kind of got the Apollo name. He actually was a god, but I feel like that was too arrogant and too cocky. That's not who I am. So breaking it down to something that was more of myself and applying principles and one life lessons openly. So taking those things that I learned in life, I feel like, you know, you can't hold on to them. You have to let them go. be free and open and expressive, so those behind you or those around you can learn and grow as themselves. So that's where Apollo came from. And the dreamer, I daydream. You know, growing up in school, I would just sit there and see things. I used to envision some of the most lucrative ideas or dreams and didn't see why there was a reason why I couldn't pursue them. You know, the question posed in life sometimes is why. I guess sometimes the better question is why not. So, you know, I took every day as a challenge, and I took the pros with the cons, the goods and the bad, and kept it kicking. So, you know, here we are now, two books deep, clothing line on the way, networking with a few people in my area trying to get my own scent going. Because like I said, there's nothing that nobody else has done, but it's just now putting a purpose or a cause behind it and just being more inclusive and then at some point making everything more exclusive for everybody else.
That's amazing what you say. I want to, with the things that you said so amazing, that I have to put my business hat on for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard that he said he looked at other brands and kind of, I mean, not, you know, looked at what they were doing. You get your ideas, and then you actually put your own personality with it. And I just love that because a lot of the young people, you know, the thing I guess I'm trying to say is you got to work at it. The things that he said was amazing. He did his research. Then Apollo, the dreamer, you stepped out on your own, and you know that was true to you. So I commend you for that because you have to – I can't put on, let's say, for example, I cannot put Nike on my brand because I don't – You know what it meant back then, but then I know what my brand means to me, and I can actually express that 100% regardless of where I am because I know what it means to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, your brand has to be able to stand alone, you know, kind of live the test of time. You know, you look at most of the brands who have come out, you know, they was just there. You know, they haven't been able to go through each decade and generations. I mean, growing up, you know, we had FUBU or Jabot. We had, you know, different types of businesses that was catered to our community. But then we also had things like Hilfiger. I remember growing up looking at Hilfiger or Timberland, and there was a popular brand just to find out the controversy that was also associated or affiliated with these individuals. You know, they weren't the same individuals who were coming back giving back to our community. They wasn't, you know, sponsoring anything positive for us coming up. They was just a market. We were just a market to them, and they tapped into, you know, our culture. So something has to come from our culture. We have to have something for us, and it has to be meaningful. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. You know, you see brands like Tom's, you know, they go out and they donate X amount of dollars to, you know, the African countries or nations and so on and so forth. But, I mean to be you know, honest, I mean, our state, our country in itself is already dying. You know, we have to enterprise. I mean, commerce is the biggest factor that we have here. And, you know, when you research our history, you know, we were always entrepreneurs. I mean, look at the Black Wall Street when it first started. You know, we actually owned all the business. We had all the skills. We had all the trades. We had all the labor. You know, we were the originators when it came to this business thing. And I just thought it was a way for me to capitalize on it. So, you know, I met a guy in Texas. I was one day in Colorado, in Denver. I was actually on my way back to North Carolina, and I met a guy in the airport, 2:00 in the morning, and he and I were just talking. He had a shirt on, and I asked him, you know, what would it take? I had my Apollo hoodie on, and I asked him, what would it take for me to put you in an Apollo hoodie? And he didn't really have much of feedback. So when I broke down to him what I stood for or what I stand for, I mean, I literally gave him the shirt, the hoodie off my back and gave it to him. We took a picture together. I posted it on my Instagram, and, you know, you'll see him. I don't know this guy from Adam, but because of the fact that he believed in what I believed in, and, you know, we're both like-minded individuals, you know, he felt that his $20 was going towards an effective cause. You know, it wasn't being filtered through. It wasn't, you know, it was going straight to the source. He knew that him buying my product would help me make more products and go out and do the same thing. I built that relationship with him. So now when he goes out and he wears that hoodie and somebody asks him, well, what's that mean or who is that, he can say, well, I know that guy personally. You know, you wear Tommy Hilfiger shirt, you don't know Tommy Hilfiger. You know, you wear Rockaway, you don't know Jay-Z. You know, you don't know these individuals. You can't say that you physically have, I mean, look at his ticket for a concert, over hundreds of dollars. You know, so, I mean, you know, for you to be able to know where your product came from or where your merchandise comes from, it holds more weight and more significance because you know that you might not be able to buy another one like tomorrow. You have to go back to that source to get that from. So, I mean, this is where I'm at now, but one day he'll be able to go into a website and be like, well, I got the black one. Well, let me get the blue one or let me get the gray one because I know that guy. He's accessible. I can pick up the phone and call this guy and say, hey, we have this going on. That rapport, you know, it's beyond the money. Me and Lady V was talking, and you know, one of my biggest quotes, I think that she liked for me is, you know, hustle is the motivation, but money is the reward. So it's not about just the dollar, and of course you have to make it the most effective for you. But it's that hustle's ambition, it's that drive, is that thing inside of you that makes you want to do it beyond the money. And I think that when you have that passion for something, that's more rewarding in the long term versus you getting that $5 here, $10 here, $15 there. It's just that personable aspect behind it.
I totally agree with what you're saying. I want to ask you this because I love when young men come on the airways because we have a lot of, you know, young and old, we kind of have a mixture of listening. But I have a question. I mean, it's kind of off kilter, but kind of in what you're saying. We didn't grow up with so much of social media like we have now. I think my niece said a big thing is Snapchat and all them kind of things. But what I think have been lost, if you will, with social media, a lot of people think they have to have likes and shares to be validated. Can you speak on that a minute? Because from what I'm sensing from you, and we're on radio, ladies and gentlemen, I know you feel the same way. This young man is very positive. This young man knows who he is. And I think a lot of times we feel that fear, that Lord then, but in social media, in my opinion, have unfortunately kind of made that become more known. How can we get that back, especially with the young people, but you know, some older people experience that as well. If they don't get enough likes, if they don't get enough friends, they feel like they're not validated, that they're not a special person, that they're not uniquely made.
I think that a lot of things have been lost in translation. I mean, you don't have to necessarily have that like aspect. I mean, you know, you can't necessarily find out how genuine that like is. Is it a momentary like, you know, ha-ha, that was funny? Was it a special interest that I'm really, you know, into you or what you're doing? I think a lot of people have, when it comes to the social media aspect, I think that we have taken it from it being a inner working network or a system that brings us closer together. But I think that what it has done is it made people more reclusive and gave people a sense of false self-worth. You know, just because it's popular or it's trendy doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. So I think that, you know, these individuals or some individuals, they need that popularity because behind social media, they can be whomever they want to be. You know, they don't put on the real them. And I think that because it's not entertaining, that it doesn't, people feel like it doesn't have value behind it. I think to find yourself is a journey that has to be taken by yourself and has to be endured. And I don't think a lot of people are able to really sit down and endure that pain of finding out who they are, the good and the bad. So I think that social media can become a distraction from that. I mean, you think about it. You know, you can look at Facebook for 5 minutes and look up and 2 hours have passed by. You know, so if you're not being productive in your social media efforts, you get lost in self-worth or self-identity because you have nothing else going on. Like, personally, I'm not really as into social media from a personal level more so than I am as in business. I get on Facebook, I do what I have to do. I may browse here and there, but then I kind of get back off. It's a tool or a resource. It's not my life. You know, I don't need
right.
the negativity. I think that some people have lost the way of communicating. I think because people no longer know how to speak to each other directly. We don't know how to meet a stranger and be okay. I mean, the world is scary. Oh, I take that back. The world is scared. I think that's the most important thing. People have become scared. So because, you know, social media has become this major driver for your daily news and everything, we just sense that it's always going to be right. But, I mean, I personally feel like we got to get back to just meeting people, you know, just going out
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, being a gas station, just say hello. So I just think that, you know, trust is a little, you know, trust goes a long way. You know, I'm not saying get this person your debit card and let them go spin, but, you know, be okay with saying no. Because you don't know who else. You know, sometimes all it takes is one person. You know, that's trendy. You know, one person stepping out that box, that's trendy. But to have a mass populace
mm-hmm.
just go to the left, you know, people just identify that, well, you know, if Jane, Sue, Rob, and, you know, Marshall go, then it must be okay, not knowing what's on the other side. Well, they all jumped off the cliff, too, and there was no bottom, you know. So I think that, you know, it's the sense of fear, you know. The social media allows you to be in your box with, you know, whatever identity that you make of yourself, and you can look at the whole world and not necessarily have the world look back at you. That mirror thing, people are not able to look themselves in the mirror no more. So it's just like that window, you know, it's just a
mm-hmm.
window. And
I totally agree with you. People don't sit down to eat together, and when you speak to somebody, they won't speak back to you. Yeah, we just
right.
don't have. But the thing is, you gotta still be true to yourself. That's the great. And I'm so glad that you. Oh God, it's just amazing to hear that from a young man. I really cherish that, and I know the audience as well. You know, you are just so powerful. But let me ask you this, because we hate to get off here without doing this. If anything else that we hadn't addressed, please address that. But I had to get that question in there because so many people need to hear that. It just felt kind of heavy in my spirit. And then tell us how we can actually get your products and services and how we actually can support you on social media.
Oh. Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Apollo the Dreamer. Apollo, all one word, the Dreamer, or Apollo space the Dreamer on Facebook. I'm Apollo _ the Dreamer on Instagram. You guys can go to ElliotKnightProfessionals.com. I'm on there. I'm also on Google. You can Google my name and I'll pull up. And, you know, just reach out to me and let me know what it is that you need, and you know, I can send you in the right direction, or we can get it down for you. My books and products are also on Kindle. Apollo's Abyss, the Lurman of Apollo, they're both on Kindle, and also CreateSpace. Those are also two links that you can reach out to purchase my book, or you can reach me directly on my own page and let me know. If you want a T-shirt, tell me what color you're looking for and how you want it done, and I can pretty much get that to you. I use PayPal. You know, I have different systems or, you know, processing systems that we can use to get the, you know, transfer the funds and all, but Facebook is pretty much home for me. That's my biggest factor of driver. So you can just reach me out on Facebook. I'm very friendly. I respond back within a couple of minutes, a couple of hours. I keep my phone on me. Sometimes a good thing and a bad thing, but I'm always accessible. And like I said, you can reach out to Lady V, you know, so I'm everywhere you need me to be. I'm like Visa out here. So just reach out to me,
yeah.
Google me. And if you want a T-shirt or a book, that's out there. Like I said, the body oil is coming out, the shea butter is coming out here soon. And then I'm starting getting more into more women products, lingerie and such. So I'm just trying to keep it all growing.
I like that. I'm going to start using that. Keep it all grown. this is how I learn my new language from the young people when they come on the air. But I'm so funny. Apollo the Dreamer, we thank you so much for being in your purpose, and we thank you so much for being here with us. If you need us or Lady V need us for anything, please, please don't hesitate to contact us.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Thank you again for having me on. I look forward to coming back to your show sometime soon.
Great. Woo, ladies and gentlemen, I just love to hear the wisdom from young men. It's amazing. I know you're going to share this all over the place, because just to hear what a man thinks of a young Afro-American man, black man, you know, whatever you want to say. I say black man. But whatever. Ooh, it's just, I'm so excited because he excited me because of the things he said. That had my spirit jumping, because we got to know who we are. If you want to contact us for advertising, sponsorship, if you want your own radio show, if you want to be a guest on the show, you can actually, a guest or a guest host on the show. We're doing that a little bit as well. Give us a call at 786-565-8199. Our email is go through our website, which is www.reneesunday, that's R-E-N-E-E, Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y. But I always remember, you do have a calling. You do have a reason. One, you were born. You have a reason you're here right now. Do the three things. You got to believe, you got to trust, and you got to walk it out. You have to don't stop, what, get it. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.